Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I teach people how to make a bigger impact with their voice. I would love to help you step into your voice power, get your voice flowing freely, build up your confidence so you can speak your truth, and then I'll show you how to do it beautifully. You can find out more about me at CaptivateTheRoom.com. And be on the lookout. I've got several new great programs coming out to help you get past the barrier of speaking and getting you the technique you need so that from the moment you open your mouth, you are captivating the room and people are enthralled with your every word. So I've got a guest with me on the show today, and I know you're going to be so impressed with him, and he's really going to throw some great golden nuggets to you. Today on the show, I have Winston Henderson, who's an entrepreneur, marketing strategist, and breakthrough and consistency mentor that helps you to break through the mental barriers holding you back, such as fear and self-doubt, to create your most powerful self so that you can create the life you've always wanted rather than settling for the life you have. Winston, welcome to the show. So glad you're here.
Thanks for having me, Tracy. I must say that I loved your introduction. It sounds much better coming from you.
Well, you know, I better make things sound good, right? If that's what I do, it's that walk your talk kind of thing, right?
Right, exactly.
So now you're in Jamaica.
Yes, I am.
Where about?
I'm in Kingston, Jamaica right now. The sun is shining, but it's very windy, so I'm actually enjoying it here.
Yeah, I've never been to Jamaica.
Oh, you should definitely come. It's very wonderful.
That's what I've heard. The beaches look beautiful.
Oh, yes. Trust me, they are.
Yeah. So you're born and raised, lived there your whole life?
My entire life. I mean, I've traveled to the U.S. A few times, but, you know, I always prefer to be at home. But, you know, eventually what I do will somehow take me across the world. So we'll see how it goes.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about what you do. Now, I found your website really, really cool, and your story is so intriguing. You had a goal 5 years ago. What was that goal?
5 years ago, I think the goal that you're probably referring to is to become a millionaire, if I'm not mistaken. Is that the goal?
and to change your life. To change your life. It doesn't sound like it was working the way you wanted it to work, and you wanted to make some changes.
Yeah. 2011, I started my first business. I still have that business, still working that business. It's basically a hot beverage gourmet business. So we deal with, you know, things like coffee, teas, hot chocolate, but it's a healthier brand than the regular cup of joe that you probably find out there. So I started that in 2011. First 6 months, it did incredibly well, you know, from a revenue standpoint, from an income standpoint. But one of the things I've learned, Tracy, over the years is that especially if you're a new entrepreneur, it's very easy for you to get to a pinnacle of success you've never experienced before and think that it's going to last forever.
Very good. Keep going.
Yeah, so that's what happened with me the first 6 to 8 months of that business. But then it completely fell apart. And, you know, by this time, I had left my job because I was earning like 2 to 3 times my income doing my own business part-time than I was at my full-time job. So I said, okay, let me step away from my job and do the business full-time. Unfortunately, what happened is when you haven't yet developed a certain level of discipline to go full-time, because most people don't realize, especially as a new entrepreneur, it takes greater discipline to do what you do full-time than part-time. So that completely fell apart. 2013, you know, things picked back up 2 years later. Got to a certain point where the business took off even more than it was before, you know, over $100,000 in revenue per month.
Per month?
Yeah, per month.
Wow, that's just the beverage business.
Yeah, that's just the beverage business.
It's incredible.
Yeah, thank you. And I mean, it was those 2 years that was pretty much, I guess you can call it stagnation for me, was a great learning experience. But then in 2013, I hit a plateau again. So I think the goal that you're, you know, saying all of that to come back to what you asked me earlier. I think the goal that you had mentioned is, you know, I had hit that plateau and I've been there for a while. So I made decision that my new goal now is to get to a higher level than I am right now. So that's my goal right now. And also to see how many other people I can help to do the same.
And that was in 2013 that you made that decision?
Well, I actually made that decision. 2013 is when the business turned around for me.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's really late 2015, early 2016.
Okay.
So the 5 years now would have actually started from mid-2016.
Okay. So what is it you do now? You help entrepreneurs, right?
Well, entrepreneurs, business owners, really just anyone, because one of the things in my own process, you know, I call it 5 years to mastery, which is pretty much, as I mentioned, helping me to move from where I am right now, that plateau, to a higher level of achievement in every single area of my life, not just business. What I do now is, you know, throughout that process of doing it for myself, you know, that was originally how it started. I had no intention of really creating a business model or anything of the sort out of this. But, you know, through my own process, speaking with other people, I realized that there are a lot of other individuals out there who struggle with the same things I do. Whether as a business owner or just in your life in general, you know, things like, you know, procrastination, being inconsistent, fears, doubts. So I saw that I had developed certain skill sets, certain strategies over the years. And I thought, well, why not open this up to everyone? You know, not just myself, not just people who I know, but really the entire world, and really teach those techniques and strategies to people that they can now push through and overcome in any area of their life, whether it's business, whether it's their health and fitness, or even relationships.
You know, I think I love this, and because I think, and I've been thinking this a lot lately as I've even upped my level again in 2017, entrepreneurship, working for yourself, if you don't know what you're walking into, you are in for, I mean, it is hard, yeah. Hard. Work, people say, well, how many hours do you work a week? I say 430. That's what it feels like, because it is so much work and it is so much discipline, like you say, and so much mastery. And it probably is very upsetting for people who start a business and for whatever reason get some super immediate success and then it dwindles away. That's got to be devastating.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about these levels of things that you taught yourself, but what do you think the most important one is to your success? Could you pick one?
Oh, wow, Teresa, that's a great question. Pick one. Well, if anything, I would say that I've learned success is not necessary. Well, let me rephrase it or restructure it another way. Success is really 95%, you know, mental, emotional, even spiritual, because there's an aspect of faith in what you do, and only 5% the technical know-how, you know, the skill set, such as learning how to do marketing, sales, you know, operational management, logistics. Not that those things aren't very important. They are, because, I mean, if you enter a business and you don't know what you're doing, then you're definitely going to fail and it will fall apart. But what has contributed the most for me is understanding that my own business growth is directly related to my personal growth.
Okay.
And how I actually discovered this, you know, going back to 2011-12, when the business fell apart, I tried forever, it seemed like, you know, to get things back on track. Things weren't going back on track. And it wasn't until I took personal responsibility for myself in terms of, okay, the Winston that started the business cannot be the same Winston that grows the business. So I spent the next 12 to 18 months just working on myself, working on my own disciplines in terms of, you know, being consistent in certain activities, because that was something that was a great struggle for me. So just working on myself. And as a result of doing that, that's when the business started to grow. When I started working on myself is when the business started to grow. So that's the biggest lesson I would say for me.
That's really, really powerful. And I love what you said about personal responsibility, because I think we live in a world, certainly over here, I see this far more than I wish I saw. And I've been I've been guilty of it myself, that taking responsibility and not blaming other people or taking on the victim role or, you know, just getting it done. Okay, right. this is what, you know, I signed up for this, so let me see it through. And I think that's a really slippery slope that we can easily slide into. And I love that. Now, a big part of your work is mindset, right?
Right.
So what was your mindset before versus now?
Well, I wish I had my journal with me, because I actually write these things down because I think they're so important. But if I could think back, I think my mindset before was, I thought it would have been a lot easier than it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that, you know, as I mentioned, once you get to a certain level of success, a certain pinnacle, then it can only get better from there. And one of the things I've learned and the mindset I have now is that there is no such thing as, I guess you can call it, permanent or concrete success.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you always have to be looking on, okay, what's the next thing I can do? Okay, I've succeeded at this level and it feels great and I celebrate it, but not getting complacent and comfortable staying there.
Mm.
You know, always looking for that next level. Okay, I've done this. So one of the things in terms of my mindset right now with what I've started with 5 years to mastery is, how can I be more helpful and useful to my audience? So, okay, I write great article posts, I do training videos, but how can I have a greater impact? You know, what are the challenges that they have? How can I simply improve and never losing that hunger for more? And, you know, whenever people speak about this, they tend to create the perception that it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing to want more. It's a bad thing to want growth, that you should just be okay with what you have right now in terms of your level of success. And that's what kept keeps many business entrepreneurs stuck in their business. That's what kept me stuck for a while, thinking that, okay, I've reached a certain level and I'm comfortable where I'm right now. And it's that comfort zone that caused the business to slip back, you know, dramatically. But now I'm at a point now where I'm always thinking, you know, Winston, let's see how we can improve upon what you already done. Let's see how we can push you and challenge you, not just in terms of my own growth and not just in terms of the business growth, but in terms of how can I be more of an impact to the people who are gracious enough to give me their time and attention to hear what I have to say.
Yeah. Do you think that there's guilt linked to that? I'm this successful. I should be satisfied with this. I'm going to feel kind of guilty if I go for more.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's a particular conditioning that, you know, as a society, we've been programmed to believe that you shouldn't want more. If you want more, then you're greedy, you know, because mm-hmm. so many people out there that don't have what you have in terms of certain privileges, certain benefits. Mm-hmm. And I used to think that way as well. I can be very honest, but one of the mindsets that I've now adopted is that I need to be as successful and make as much money as possible, not for the sake of having a lavish lifestyle, but the more money I have, the more influence I have, and the more people I can help.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I feel the same way. You know, I need the money to help serve others and help others. And I think that's a wonderful mindset. I love that. Now, again, from your website and just what I know of you so far, you had some trouble, I think might be the right word, with public speaking.
Oh.
Was there some fear there? Or talk to us about that.
Tracy, I would probably say fear is a deep understatement.
Yeah, we're like traumatized.
Oh yeah, you know, a lot of people are surprised when I tell this to them that, you know, I'm actually an introvert, and people are often surprised because they see me, for example, I'm doing this interview, this podcast with you right now, and I thank you again for the opportunity. And you know, I'm speaking to you, you know, it may come across as me being very confident, very sure in what I'm doing. And, you know, typically we think that those are extroverted, traits. But, you know, let me even, you know, back this with a story. I remember the first time in my same gourmet business, you know, I had a mentor of mine, and we were going to present to some business professionals in terms of, you know, getting them to distribute our products. And I can remember we came to the location, we pulled up, and we are walking to the entrance of the building, and my mentor turns to me and says, "Oh, by the way, you're doing the presentation today." There was no warning, there was no prep time, there was nothing. It was literally on the spot, like 5 minutes before the presentation is about to start. I have no idea what I'm about to do, no idea what I'm about to say. I was terrified. I was literally, you know, bumping the tables, bumping the projector because, but it was a great lesson for me. You know, I suffered in terms of the fear of public speaking so much that I would be the type of person that always wanted to sit in the back of the room. I'd be the type of person that, you know, when it came to Q&A section, even though I had this desire that I wanted to ask a question, you know, because of that fear that you may look bad or be ridiculed, or, you know, what if I go up there and I say something stupid and people laugh at me? So I had that fear, but, you know, one of the things I've learned, that's why when I hear people say, "Oh, I'm no good at public speaking, I'm no good at presenting, I'm no good at sales." Well, that's not necessarily true. It's just a skill set that you can develop over time, because a lot of what I've learned now in terms of public speaking, presentation skills, you know, now I actually love doing it. I love it. I can't wait to get in front of an audience and speak. But, you know, that didn't happen overnight. It took me years to develop that skill slowly. You know, just starting out as something as simple as being in a crowd, not the front of the seat, the front of the room, instead of the back, you know, just baby steps. You know, when it came to asking a question, you know, putting up my hand to ask a question and be recognized even before my brain realizes what's happening.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that fear doesn't come and take you over. So I did it in small steps until I got to the point where I developed my communication skills, my people skills. You know, standing in front of a room of 2 people, like, you know, 5 people, like 10. So basically what I'm saying, and what the best advice I would give to your audience is, even though you may have that fear, it doesn't have to cripple you. Don't accept the identity that, oh, this is who I am. I'm someone that's no good at public speaking. That's not true, because then you put a limitation on yourself that you probably won't be able to break through, but I've been able to do it. So I can attest that it's possible.
Well, and it's probably good that your mentor threw you, you know, it sounds like a total baptism by fire experience, but I think that had to have given you a glimmer of something to move forward. And, you know, I don't know that all of my people, all of my audience has a fear of public speaking. I know that there are degrees among my group here, but I know that for those that do have that fear of speaking, that do have that fear of putting their voice out there or being heard, it can literally be debilitating to the point of robbing years of success from their lives.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And that's why, you know, I believe so much in the idea, you know, Jim Rohn says it, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. And that's so true, because whatever limitation you have, you know, whether it's your business, your you know, as a public speaker, the reason why you are where you are right now, if you feel stuck and, you know, your business has stagnated, it's not because of the business. It's not because of the economy. It's not because people aren't willing to spend, because, I mean, you have speakers like, you know, the Tony Robbins, the Brandon Burchards, who are charging like tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to speak, and people pay to have these gentlemen come and speak to their audience, and the audience actually pays. So it's not a lack of money. It's just a matter of, you have limited yourself in terms of your skill set. And as you said, it can literally rob you years of success.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. I really love that when you stop working on yourself, everything stops working. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, you took action, and it sounds like it was baby steps, but you took action, you stepped into the fear. And, you know, there's that statement about fear of public speaking. It's really, I think we have to boil it down to layer, get down to the bottom layer of what is that fear. And you said it, it's that fear of rejection. It's that fear of what people are going to think. But until you put it out there, like you did, until you take action, you're not going to get that positive reaction back. And it's that positive reaction in front of those 2 people that you got in front of that got you going to the next 2 people or 8 people or 24 people, you know? But I think that for many people, and I don't know if this is true for you or not, but I know for a lot of my audience is introverts. Almost all of my one-on-one clients are, and the majority of them are very analytical. Right. So their mind, they get tripped up in their mind. Oh, but you know, it's not gonna sound like this, and it's not, you know, it's not gonna... Are you analytical like that?
Oh, yeah, very much.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? It plays a big part. Yeah. Did that get in your way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I would even go a step further. Not only am I analytical, but I'm somewhat of a perfectionist. But the good thing is I've learned how to get past that. I've learned to develop the mindset that there's no such thing as perfectionism. Mm-hmm. Because the idea, and this is my belief, this is my view, some people may agree, some people may not, but the idea of perfectionism means that you can get to a certain peak, a certain level of perfection, and then the growth stops. There's no more room to grow, so it's perfect. And I don't believe that. I believe there's always room to grow, there's always room to improve. So the problem with us analyticals and people who are perfectionists like myself, is that we we want everything to be perfect before we start.
And do you think that can also link to that fear of rejection? I need it to be perfect so you won't reject it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Because as I mentioned, you know, the idea is that I, especially for people who are our personality types, you know, there's this sense that we need to present an identity of being perfect, of always knowing that we have the answers, knowing that we always know what to do. So even before you get started, you feel that everything has to be perfect. I need to have the perfect sounding voice, the perfect speech, the perfect strategy. You know, I need the perfect voice coach. What to do. And one of the things is that that perfectionism, you know, because happened for me, it kept me you know, stuck for a very long time, a very, very long time, until I had to get to the point where, listen, it's not about perfection, it's about progression. Like progression is far, it's better to do, you know, five things just above average in terms of, you know, your, what you know you're capable of, and just get it out there. You know, test it, learn from it, and then refine it. It's better to take that approach than waiting to do the one thing perfectly and put that one perfect thing out there, because it will never be perfect, no matter how much you try.
Yeah, I love that. It reminded me of Marie Forleo. She has that phrase, start before you're ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because are you ever really ready?
Are you ever ready
to speak or be an entrepreneur or start your own business? I don't know. I don't, you know, it's classic, you know, well, I'm going to wait to have a child until I've got enough money or enough of this or enough of that. Well, what if you're 70 when that happens, you know? So I love that. So you, the program that is the name of the program, 5 Years to Mastery?
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Okay. And what does that program look like? What do you do in there in that program? Who do you work with? What kind of people do you work with? What do you guys do? What is it? Tell me about that.
Well, 5 Years to Mastery, you know, as you mentioned in the introduction, it's all about helping people to break through or push through the mental barriers such as fear, self-doubt, holding them back, limiting beliefs, and basically do what we just, you know, finished talking about, which is take action. That's the most important thing. So it's really identifying, helping people to identify what's holding them back from taking that action. How can we get you to push through and break through what's holding you back, get you to take action, and then get you to now take action consistently enough for long enough until you get to whatever desired result or outcome that you're after. So, you know, the whole, the entire, you know, concept came about, you know, it's just me. I was literally doing my spiritual time. I was just sitting down and the idea, you know, came to me from, you know, if that's your belief, if not, it's okay. But, you know, for me, I feel it came from God. You know, you don't necessarily agree, but, you know, it literally came from God. And I had no plans whatsoever to start this this project, this journey, this business, you know, but it just started out as something that I wanted to do for myself. Sorry about that. And then, you know, it grew into something so much more. So that's really what we help people to do. You know, I have so much more plans for it in the future. I'm not going to necessarily give out much information now, but for now, it's just about growing the audience, trying to impact as many people as possible. You know, right now I take on one-on-one mentoring. I don't know how long I'm going to do that, but for the moment I do, because I personally prefer working with people one-to-one than necessarily group setting, because then I can give you all the time and attention that you need to really dig to figure out what's holding you back and how can we help you to move forward.
Yeah, I love that one-on-one too. That's the majority of the work that I do, and I just love it. And I think it's good and really key because it's, everybody's so different. That the core of what you teach, the core of what I teach is one thing, but we individualize it per person. Yeah, but it is tough to sustain. It's insane. You know, there's only, because if you, it sounds like you're like me, and when I'm in a session with somebody, I'm given 410%.
Right.
And so it's emotionally, you know, you're emotionally involved in it, and you can only give so much, so many hours a day. And then you step back and you say, gosh, I've got to find a way to serve even more people, even help more people. So do you work with people all over the world?
Yeah. It's so funny that you mentioned that. I work with people. I have clients here. Well, I wouldn't necessarily consider them clients because they're not necessarily paying me.
Oh, okay.
But it's just people that, you know, I see that there's a need and I say, hey, you know, I know what you feel. I've been through the same thing. Let me help you. Because that's just who I am. I mean, of course, I do have a strategy to eventually monetize it. Mm-hmm. But for now, I'm just okay with, you know, helping people, you know, figuring out how to help them. So I have people I work with here in Jamaica. I have people as far as Kenya, Nigeria. Just met with a lady yesterday in the U.S. I think she's in California. So we're actually arranging to meet tomorrow to put together a kind of strategy for her. So, you know, that's the beauty of, you know, the internet, you know, that Tracy, mm-hmm. you and I are having this conversation, even though we're in two separate parts of the world. So, yeah, really, it's really, I work with anyone from any walk of life, anywhere in the world. Because at the end of the day, it's all about helping people. You know, I'm not going to say, okay, well, I only work with this type of person. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you know, the brand will grow where, I would have to create sub-brands for specific things. But for the moment, as I'm growing the business, as I'm growing the audience, my only focus right now is just to put content out there because it is a blog, really. So,
okay.
Here that can help the wider audience while still working with the people one-to-one. And as you mentioned, I know it will grow to the point where I may have to limit the one-to-one coaching sessions and pretty much develop a system. So we're in the process of doing that right now, developing a system of how can we have the same level of impact that a one-to-one session would have, but without necessarily relying solely on myself or anyone else that works with me to do that, but to create system, pretty much systematize everything and create an automated process to make it happen.
Do you still have the beverage company?
Yeah, I still do.
Have that. Okay. So you still got that going.
Yeah,
wow. So if I say, what does a day in the life of Winston look like? It sounds like it might be kind of busy.
Oh, it definitely is. Most days I probably wake up as early as 5 o'clock, sometimes 4. Sometimes I sleep in because, you know, you probably just had a really long day the day before and you just need to get some rest, which I hardly get anyway, because I like to punish myself. But anyway, so I wake up at 5. I do my spiritual time, you know, meditation, prayer. And I'll probably get online, you know, read a few articles, you know, probably something related to business and marketing mostly because those are the things I'm passionate about and I love. You know, I'd probably start my day at about 9. So anywhere between 9 to 12, I'm doing some form of writing. That's the time when I set apart for writing because like late mornings, early afternoons are the best times for me to write. So it may be that I might write something for my blog or probably I'm doing a guest post or, you know, I'm a contributor for a few other business websites and marketing websites as well. So I maybe write an article for them. And then, you know, at 12, I would probably do something relating to the 5 years to mastery, you know, business project that I'm working on. Do that for probably about 2-3 hours, take a break, you know, work out for at least half an hour. Come back, read a book at probably about 4, and then in the evening, probably about 5-6 o'clock, I'll dedicate time to the beverage business, because most of what I do, or most of the requirements of that business, can really be done in the evening. So I really reserve that time for that. So do about 2, 3, maybe sometimes 4 hours of that. If I have my daughter with me that day, then, you know, spend time with her in terms of, you know, getting homework done, watching a show, you know, just spending time with her, put her to bed. And then between probably 9 to 12, I use that time to be productive doing something. Most of the time it's working on the 5 years to mastery project. So I'm literally jam-packed.
yeah, you are. Wow, that's amazing. That's really impressive. Well, that's so cool. Well, you are just such an interesting and wonderful person. I just love the work that you do, and I just really want everybody to check out your work. Where can they find, where do you want them to go to look for you, Winston?
Well, they can visit the 5 Years to Mastery website. It's the number 5, the website link, or the URL. It's the number 5, letter Y, number 2, letter M.com. So it's 5Y2M.com. It's the shortened version of 5 Years to Mastery. So they can go on that. They can, you know, I've just posted some training videos. They can look at that, you know, if it's something that they see is of value to them, is helpful to them, then they can subscribe. Because later on, I'll be also posting more exclusive training videos, not necessarily open to the public. Not anything that they have to pay for. It's all free. You know, they just need to subscribe to be able to access that.
Great. That's fantastic. And I will also have that in the show notes. So be on the lookout for that. And also take a look in the show notes, because Winston's going to give the listeners here a very special offer. So take a look for that. Don't miss it. I highly encourage you to go and see what Winston is up to. Connect with him. He's doing good things. Set your own 5 years to mastery and let him be your guide. That is what I'm going to recommend. So, well, thank you so much for being with me today, Winston. It's just really been a pleasure to have you on the show and get to know you and your work a little bit better.
Thank you so much again for having me, Tracy. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed our conversation. It doesn't feel like it was an interview. It's actually a conversation that we had between good friends.
I know, right? I know. It was great. Well, thank you again. Thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for being here. I sure appreciate your downloads and being subscribers. Remember, you can find me at CaptivateTheRoom.com. Check out Winston in the show notes. And I'll be back in a week or sooner. And until I see you again, get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.